This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Todd. Todd is the LGBTQI Communities Commissioner. Our next guest is Ingrid Stitt. Ingrid is the Minister for Workplace Safety. Good morning. Now, if it was TASS, he would say good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Minister.
I'll say good morning, Minister, but then I'll say, how are you, Ingrid? How's it going?
I'm really well, thanks, Macca and Todd, and it's great to be with you this morning.
Now, this is your first time on Saturday Magazine. Is it your first time on Joy?
No, I think I have in a previous life. Been on Joy FM before, which is fantastic.
Great.
But it's been a while, I must admit.
Okay. So what we want to talk about today, Ingrid, is Victoria's move to restrict the silencing of sexual harassment victims in the workplace. Now, there's been a lot of work done by the Victorian government, really good work, and, you know, I've spoken about this on many occasions, around historical child sexual abuse and removing, you know, the silencing mechanisms that applied there. So we're now applying this to the workplace. This is important stuff. Can you tell us about, you know, what the changes that you're making, what they will do and how that will benefit victims of sexual harassment in the workplace?
Thanks. I'm happy to do that. This is really part of a much bigger suite of reforms that the government's pursuing to stamp out sexual harassment in Victorian workplaces. It's pretty shocking to think that in 2022, there's still one in three Australians reporting that they've been sexually harassed at work in a five-year period. So that's quite a shocking statistic, and I think that it's well known and well documented the kind of harms that can flow from people being subjected to this completely unacceptable behaviour. So the Victorian government has been looking at a range of reforms to minimise this behaviour, to give workers more of a voice and feel confident to speak up if they are subjected to this kind of behaviour. So we know that the use of non-disclosure agreements can often be misused. They can often be used to silence victim survivors and to protect employers' reputations over and above the interests of a worker who has gone through a horrific situation. So we will be accepting that particular recommendation from the Ministerial Task Force into Sexual Harassment, and we will over the next little while be consulting quite widely with the community, with unions, with employer groups, with the legal profession to make sure that we get this reform right, because it is quite a tricky balance. I'm mindful of the fact that there will be victim survivors out there who don't want to be silenced, who want to be able to speak about their experience, but there will also be individuals who may want to have the benefit of a you know, quite wide-ranging non-disclosure agreement, and we need to get that balance right, and we need to make sure that whatever model we arrive at is centred around victim survivors and their needs. And this will be the first time that it's been done in Australia. There are a couple of different models overseas that we will, you know, look at carefully, but we need to make sure that we get it right for our own workplace context in here in Australia.
Can I just acknowledge, Ingrid, that this is incredibly important legislation, you know, that you'll be putting forward. You know, silence in these matters is not what we want. We do want the ability for survivors and victims, should they wish to talk about what's happened to them, they should be allowed to. So I think that's important there. Can I just ask, Ingrid, is the proposal that it's still a bit of a work in progress, but will this apply to every workplace in Victoria? Are there exemptions? And I simply ask, you know, is I don't know, the Victorian Parliament. Is it going to apply there? Is it going to apply, you know, in the justice system, in the court system? You know, are there going to be areas that are exempt, or is it every workplace in Victoria?
Yeah, well, I would like to think not, that we wouldn't have those, you know, industries or sectors that are exempt. But I don't want to preempt the work that we will need to do to get the model right. What I don't want to do is land on a model that has unintended consequences.
Yeah. Mm.
I think that really the preparedness of the government to tackle this is in recognition of the fact that the current system has been failing people.
Mm.
And for too long, it's individuals who have had to find the strength and find the courage to put their hand up and say, I've been subjected to inappropriate behaviour, and they are the ones that are expected to pursue an individual case,
yeah.
which often involves, you know, interactions with legal proceedings. So what the broader reform is that government has accepted is treating workplace sexual harassment as an occupational health and safety issue, and thereby making sure that victims are not just there on their own to deal with this unacceptable behaviour, but that employers right across the state understand really well what their obligations are to provide a safe workplace. Because if you are working in a workplace where sexual harassment is occurring, then I would strongly advocate that that is not a safe workplace.
And
there are obligations on employers to mitigate against those risks.
That's right.
And this is what these reforms will do.
That's right. Minister Todd Fernando here, Victorian Commissioner for LGBTQ plus Communities. It's a pleasure to have you on. One of the exciting things that I found, particularly in the recommendations made by the task force, was its consistent approach with Kate Jenkins' Respect at Work recommendations.
Yes.
It builds into best practice. You know, it uses gender-inclusive languages, recognising that there are more than two genders, which is a great move. But it also, you know, it makes specific recommendations about the compliance code around workplace-related gendered violence or sexual harassment. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about how that or the implications of that compliance code can work to protect people in addition to helping employers navigate the compliance code around, you know, addressing some of the underlying conditions that lead to workplace sexual harassment or violence in some cases.
Yes, and of course, we know from all of the research that sadly there are particular industries that have a much higher prevalence of sexual harassment, and particular groups in our community who are more vulnerable to this kind of unacceptable behaviour. And on one level, you know, it is difficult that in 2022 we still seem to be having the same conversations over and over about what constitutes appropriate workplace behaviour. But you know, we need to continue on with those efforts. And so one of the recommendations that the government has accepted is that we need to build up the capacity of WorkSafe as the independent safety regulator charged with overseeing the Occupational Health and Safety Act in Victoria, and make sure that they have the appropriate skill set within their inspectorate. So there will be specialist WorkSafe inspectors that will be recruited as part of this reform, and they will be looking at gender violence and sexual harassment, and having the resources and the to be able to respond where we see patterns of behaviour or instances of unacceptable behaviour. So one of the other important parts of that process is making sure that we have compliance codes that are fit for purpose for particular industries and particular scenarios. So that work will be done by WorkSafe. And I also think another important step that we've agreed to take is to require employers to provide de-identified data to WorkSafe regularly around incidents of sexual harassment in their workplace. And that gives us a much better picture about where this is occurring, and therefore, you know, gives WorkSafe a much, gives them a map, if you like, of where the priorities might be. So that's all important work as well, as looking at ways in which we can strengthen the law.
That's right, and we'll no doubt, you know, really work alongside VIREOC and, you know, the Gender Equality Commission, particularly to map where these instances occur, and some of the gaps within that, which I just think is, you know, this is the part where it's world leading. This is the part where we're strengthening these codes and agreements to ensure that we can support, you know, and address the barriers and make resources accessible to all groups, including people from cold backgrounds, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, LGBTQ+, you know, even people who are in insecure work, who, you know, I applaud the decision to do this.
Can I ask, Minister, is there a timeline for this? When do you expect to be able to introduce legislation?
Yeah, it's difficult to put a definitive timeline on the work around the restriction of non-disclosure agreements. I'm obviously keen to get on with it as quickly as possible, but I also want to make sure that there's the opportunity for the community and for a number of organisations to have input. So we will be taking our time to get this reform right. But I think that, you know, we as a government, we've demonstrated that once we commit to do something, we deliver on those commitments. But I am a little bit loath to put a specific time frame on this one.
Has the opposition taken a position on this?
I did see some comments that they made about that they were quite supportive of the proposition around NDAs, but I don't have any further detail about how they've responded to the overall recommendations of the task force. The NDA issue is just one of 26 recommendations, so it is a big body of work.
The
government will get on with it.
We'll ask them next time they're on air, which will be in the next few weeks. One final question, totally unrelated to this, if I may. Can I suggest that on our number plates we have Victoria, the equality state?
Macca, that was my suggestion months ago.
Well, okay, it's Todd and my suggestion. can you raise that in the next big cabinet meeting?
I will certainly pass that suggestion on.
Thank you. I reckon it would be fantastic.
We've got a new equality minister in Victoria, Harriet Shing, one of my colleagues in the upper house. So I will have a word in her shell-like ear.
Yes. Harriet, if you're listening, we want Victoria the equality state. There you go. Minister Ingrid Stitt, thank you for your time this morning, and welcome again to Saturday Magazine. You're always welcome to come on and talk about issues, you know, in your portfolio and important issues. Thank you for your time and thank you for your work. This is going to make an incredible difference to not just safe workplaces, but justice. So thank you.
Thanks so much to both of you. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9 with Macca and Todd.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.